are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Good morning. Good morning. First and foremost, thank you for making me feel so much at home with your stage decorations. I have a house full of teenage boys. I also coach baseball, and so we always have guys at our house. And so coming to a swamp is much like being at home. So I really, really appreciate that. In fact, my 16-year-old son likes to call me Shrek. So I really do appreciate the stage setup. But hey, I'm going to get us started with a little bit of audience participation. I did not do this in first service, and it's going to make me feel so much better, okay? So if you are at least 25 years old or younger, turn to your neighbor and say, everyone can do something. Louder, come on, you're supposed to be the energetic group. 25 years or younger, everyone can do something. Let me hear it. All right, I hear some mumbling. Now, if you were born in the 1900s, that's everybody else, I'd love for you to turn to your neighbor and say, everyone can do something. Thank you. There is a theme, right? Everyone can do something. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But before we do, as Kirsten said, my name is Jeremiah Brown. I am from the Christian Alliance for Orphans. And up until 2 weeks ago, I served as the director of operations for our U.S. foster care ministry known as More Than Enough. More Than Enough is this idea that is all about uniting the church to provide more than enough for children and families before, during, and beyond foster care. And that's more than enough in four key areas. More than enough ideal placements, that's ideal kinship or foster homes for every single child that's in care. More than enough adoptive homes for every child who's waiting to be adopted. More than enough biological family support. So those kids who are in foster care, ready to be reunited with their families, that's what we want to see, is more than enough support for those families. And then also more than enough wraparound support for every single family involved in foster care. That's what I used to do. I still do a lot of that. I get to actually serve our global community now, doing the director of operations role, serving the church, bringing people together. And I love it. I love it because that's what brought me here today. Because I believe this: when the church shows up, it counts. When the church shows up, it counts. And for me, it's not just a ministry that I get to do. It's actually pretty personal. Because I'd love to start off by sharing my story. And like any good story, it starts at birth, right? And so I was actually born to a teenage mom. My mom was barely 18 years old when she got pregnant with me. And just like many teenagers trying to figure it out, many teenagers who are trying to figure it out in life, but now she has this child and she's trying to figure it out. And what most people don't realize is when you are a single teenage parent, life is very, very unexpected. And what I realize even now as an adult is I don't understand how my mom did this. And to be honest with you, she didn't do it alone. She didn't do it alone. She had support. We had family. We had friends. We had people that loved her along the way. And looking back, my story is one that makes me realize now that I was actually what would be considered a vulnerable child. Where my mom at times, when we lived in Chicago, worked three different jobs, part-time jobs, just to make ends meet so that there was food on the table for both of us. Looking back on my life, and I try really hard, I have these conversations with my boys of, what's your very first memory? My oldest son, who is 16, we talk about trauma, being a trauma-informed home. He and I talk about, do you remember any trauma in your life? And he'll tell everybody the only traumatic thing that's ever happened to him is when he was like 5 or 6 years old, his dad took this little puppy that we had and my two boys, and we drove to the parking lot of Hobby Lobby and literally handed this dog over to some random person. That is my kid's most traumatic moment in his life. And I thank God for that, Because when I look back on my life, my very first memory of all time was watching my mom go through our bathroom door by her head because my biological father found us and he decided that was the moment he was going to kill my mom. Now, thankfully, the Lord provided. My mom is still here to this day, and we ran away, got away. We had family that took us in, family that supported us. Bring that up because this is personal. Being a vulnerable child is personal. When I was 8 years old, well, back up just a little bit. When I was five, my mom met this incredible guy who they ended up getting married, started a family. And when I was 8 years old, my stepdad chose me to be his son and gave me the same last name that he has. At that time, I didn't understand what that decision really meant. I just knew something was said in that you're mine. Having that same last name meant I was his. He didn't have to do that, but he did. And the decision changed everything for me. It counted. That decision counted in my life. Later, our home became a place where cousins and friends and kids who needed stability found it. Although my parents were never officially foster home, they always had other kids in their home. And at the time, I didn't realize that it was anything special. It was just a normal part of our life where when someone needed a place to stay, whether it was for a night or for months or even years, my parents said, "We have a place." But looking back on it now, I realize that every meal, every single conversation, every open door, it all counted. Years later, when my wife and I made the decision to adopt my cousin at his birth, our church surrounded us. They surrounded us with meals. They surrounded us with diapers. They surrounded us with a crib. They surrounded us with prayer. We were in this process of adopting him. He was born here in Indiana, and we were living in South Carolina at the time. And I just remember packing up the car with the essentials of a diaper bag and a car seat and saying, "Okay, God, just use us. And if we get to Fort Wayne and she changes her mind, please use us and use these things to bless her and let her have the life that this child needs. And Lord, just continue to use us." And so after a month later, when we finally got the okay to leave the state of Indiana and went back to South Carolina, that was my prayer. God, just continue to use us. And when we got home, we were overwhelmed just by the goodness of our local church. And they probably thought that they were just helping out. And it was just a small way of making sure that we had what we needed, but it wasn't. It was much more than that. It was something that counted in our lives. And that's what I want you to see today, that in God's kingdom, nothing done in love is ever wasted. Every prayer, every meal, every open home, every act of obedience, every single one of them counts. So if you would, begin to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And as you are turning there, I just want to remind you that if you were here last week, you heard some of the problem that we see in this world of vulnerability, that we're embraced with brokenness. There's pain all around us. Some of the statistics that enforce this vulnerability, that's not just across oceans, but it's right here in our own backyard where there's over 328,000 children in foster care in the United States. Specifically here in Indiana, there are over 11,000 children who are in foster care here in the state of Indiana. And just in the month of September, which is the most updated record that we have, here in Kosciuszko County, there were 140 children who woke up in different homes because they were removed and placed in foster care. Brokenness and vulnerability is right at our own doorsteps. And when we see that kind of brokenness, a lot of times our instinct is to say, someone should do something, right? Well, at the very beginning, I had you say, you can do something. Everyone can do something. See, God has a plan, and that plan is his people. And so we see this in Ephesians chapter 2. And if you've got your Bible, go to verse 10 with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. It says, "For we..." Not just me, Jeremiah up on stage, not just Kirsten, not just the staff or the elders of this church. It says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works." When I ask a question, it's okay to talk. I know this is my first time here. It's okay. I'm hyperactive as it is. I'll go off track anyway, but it's okay to talk back. So we are created to do what? Good works, that's right, good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2, chapter 10, church tells us intentionally, it teaches us that God intentionally creates believers in Christ to live on purpose, producing good works that he has already planned, reflecting his glory and who he is. See, we weren't made to sit on the sidelines. We were made to be sent. Jesus tells us to go and make disciples. We were made to go and do something. The church doesn't just have good works to do. We were made for them. This is our purpose. God looked at the needs of our world and he says, I'm going to send my people. What if God planted this church, Mission Point, right here because the solution to the crisis that we have in foster care is already sitting in this room? The solution to that crisis is right here, right now. Every act of love, every yes of obedience, every time you step towards someone in need, it counts. We're not spectators of God's work. We are participants in his plan. And when we participate, it counts. And when we participate, we begin to realize that everyone has a role to play. Every single one of us in this room has a role to play. If you would, do me a favor, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because we see a very clear picture that every single one of us has a role to play, a very distinct role to play. You've probably heard this scripture quite a bit, and I'm going to read it, and we're going to be reminded, and I'm going to be grossed out at one spot, because I'll tell you why in a minute. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12, says this. It says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we all are baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. But if the foot, this is where I get really grossed out because I hate feet, and my teenagers know this. And even last night as I was preparing, my 14-year-old came right over and he didn't have socks on and he just put his foot right next to me. And I started dry heaving because Paul knew what he was doing when he said, even the foot, the grossest part of the body, should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that'd be really weird. Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat them with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ. Like a body, the church matters, every part of it. And that means every single role counts. In foster care ministry and serving those who are vulnerable in our community, that looks different for everyone. And some of you have been absolutely living this out for many years. But here's some of the things. If you open your home, it counts. Some of you bring meals. Some of you babysit. Some of you pray. They all count. Some of you mentor teams, teens, support biological families, volunteer with local organizations. Every single one of these things counts. And some will advocate and give, and that counts too. And here's the thing, church, every single one of us can pray, and prayer counts. It's not about what you can't do, it's about discovering what God has designed you to do. Verse 18 said, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You are intentionally placed and equipped, not by accident, but on purpose for this community at this time. I grew up here in Indiana. Over in Fort Wayne, actually, is where I was born and pretty much raised. And we used to actually make fun of Warsaw, so I apologize that for that many, many years later. And we would ever say, who in their right mind would ever move there for any purpose? And some of you may be thinking the same thing, but the reality is God has a purpose for you. And over the last several years, matter of fact, the last about 15 years that I've been involved in foster care and orphan ministry in some capacity, Mission Point has been a big part, and I've never stepped foot in the church. It's been a big part of how I'm hearing you're impacting this community, how people know that they can trust you to do good works, that if they have a need, that they can come to this church. You are intentionally placed here for this time, in this community, for this purpose. And can I just again tell you, for those of you who are serving and living this out and giving your something, you are seen. Some of you might be tired and worn out and just wondering, what in the world am I still doing? Is it enough? Please hear this, you are seen. You are heard, you are loved, and I beg you to keep going, keep serving because it counts. You may not be called to do everything, church, but you are called to do something, and your something counts. And here's the thing, when you do something, and when we realize that everyone can do something, and when everyone does something, God does the impossible because God's math is different. It's not like our math. When his people come together, he multiplies what we have to offer. We see this time and time again throughout scripture. Think of Jesus feeding so many people with just a simple meal of bread and fish. He multiplies what we have. In Acts chapter 2, we see this. We see that God does absolutely impossible things when we come together and we do something. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 starts off and says this. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, right? They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had it, who had need. Here's what I love. I'm just going to take a pause on that. What I love is that this body of believers came together and they said the commonality was Jesus. And when they realized that someone needed something, they sold their things so that way they could provide for one another. Here's what I believe. I know that we're in the midst of kind of a national crisis right now, that the government shut down, and I am so apolitical on so many things, so I don't care what side of the fence you sit on. Here's what I know, is that it is not up to the government to take care of our communities. It is up to the church, and the church is the answer to take care of everything. So if there's someone who's losing out on SNAP benefits who is in your community, guess what? The answer is the church. Maybe it's up to us to take in an extra meal, have somebody come and spend a evening with us. My wife was texting me in between services, said, hey, we've got a family at church that's coming over for dinner. I said, what are we having? She's like, well, I was thinking frozen pizza. And my response was, why can't we have grilled cheese and tomato soup? Like, it's snowing where I'm at. And she just started laughing at me because that's just how we roll. We want people in our home. Here's what I also know is that we're in the Hoosier state and we're known as Hoosier, having Hoosier hospitality. The very first part of hospitality is a word called the hospital. What do you do in a hospital? You go get better. That's the goal. And so when we show Hoosier hospitality, it's like bringing people in to a hospital where they're getting loved on, they're getting cared for, they're being taken care of. And so church, I just want to encourage us that this is not the world's problem that for them to solve. It is the church's problem for us to step up and solve. And we can. God has given us the ability to do something about it. Off my little soapbox. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We see God bringing more and more people because the church simply did what they were called to do. That's what happens when the church moves in unity. That's what happens when everyone does something, and everyone's something actually counts. It matters. And we don't just talk about God's love. We actually show God's love when we do something. And when we do this, the world takes notice. Mission Point, can I just again tell y'all, you have been killing it in this area and serving those in this community and those beyond this community, those who are the most vulnerable around the globe. Many have seen and have taken notice to what this church does. But can I encourage you not to let up? Don't let up. If you aren't currently doing something, can I encourage you to let today be the day that you start? Because every believer should do something. Together, it counts for eternity. When everyone does something, together we show the world that we are the hands and the feet of Jesus and what that looks like. And every single one of them counts. It counts to God, and it counts to the Kirstens of the world seeing Jesus in the lives of other people. It counts to the Jeremiahs who had family members who literally lived out the gospel by providing a home, by providing a meal. It counts to that neighbor who you invite in, or that stranger who just DCS drops off at your door and says, figure it out. It counts. Let me return again to Ephesians chapter 2 one last time. Verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works for which God prepared in advance for us to do. God doesn't need perfection. He needs participation. You don't have to do everything. Just do the one thing that he's asking you to do. Because when you say yes, it counts. It counts for the child who feels forgotten, who wakes up in a stranger's home trying to figure out this new life that they have to figure out while desperately wanting to be with mom or dad and not understanding why they can't be home. It counts to the family who feels alone. It counts to the foster parents who's just struggling to make sense of why this child is going back to their biological family. And it counts to God. Let's be the people who believe that what we do in Jesus' name truly counts. So in just a few moments, I'm going to have Kirsten come back and kind of give next steps and encourage you of how you can make your something matter and start doing something and how you'll be able to respond today. But before I do that, can I just ask you to pray with me? As you begin to reflect on how God wants to use you, let's go to him right now. So God, thank you that you invite us into this work, that you show each of us our role, and that you give us courage to step into what you've already prepared for us. Help us remember that every act of love, every step of obedience, every yes that we give you, that it counts. And Lord, for maybe that foster mom or dad that's sitting in this room today who's just tired, stressed, ready to give up, would you bring encouragement to them, letting them know that in the midst of hardness going on right now, it counts. Lord, would you continue to use this church to be that lighthouse of things counting and counting well, that they are changing not just this county, but this state because of them stepping up on days like today, standing for the most vulnerable, saying, here I am, Lord, send me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.